The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Occasionally, during the preaching task, you are going to find that you have to deal with multiple texts, themes, and occasions. I remember distinctly always Palm Sunday and Confirmation Day. Also, the Passion of our Lord presented itself sometimes with a mixed match of messages. Today, we are also presented a trifecta of sorts. We have the text before us, the complaining Israelites in the wilderness, St. Patrick's Day, and oh yes, Dr. Nordling's 60th birthday. We try to fit them all in some way. We like to complain. By our very nature, we like to complain. It's almost like a national pastime. We complain about the weather. We complain about our favorite basketball team being knocked out of the brackets, music styles, what people wear, etc. Complaining, grumbling, murmuring, as the Bible says, is as old as Adam and Eve. Lord, it is the woman you gave me that caused me to do it. Now I was thinking, what are the top complaints, let's say, among college students? Now, put it in context, 6.7 of the world's population have a college degree. Put that in context for a second. And here are some direct quotes. Top complaints of college students. It costs too much. The books are very expensive. My professor is unbelievingly boring. I hate writing papers. My roommate would make Hannibal Lecter seem like a nice guy. 7 a.m. classes. Noticed I said 7 a.m. and not 8. Having to walk through the snow in the wintertime. Can you imagine? All of this required reading. Now, how about the top complaints of college professors? Students being unprofessional in their correspondence. Asking the professor, did I miss anything important in class? Packing up your things before class is ended. Making fonts bigger and margins wider. Not taking notes in class. And the misuse of electronic devices. Not checking the syllabus. Not following instructions. They did not listen to Moses. The list can go on. And who of us doesn't complain about coffee in the commons? No green beer today for Gemütlichkeit. And besides, I see some of you are Roman Catholic today, not many Protestants among us. And besides, Philip, the only Protestant. St. Patrick's color was blue and inexplicably changed to green in the mid-19th century. We might serve blue beer for you all today. Who doesn't complain about travel? I find it humorous when people complain about the airline service. Think about it. You are sitting in a chair up in the sky. Do you want to go back to Egypt? We complain about leadership, our trials. Some of it's justified, some of it's unjustified. But behind all of the complaining, the murmuring, and the grumbling that we do, it is ultimately a criticism against God Himself. Grumbling is trying to answer this ultimate question. Not only does the Lord provide, but really, Is the Lord with us or not? That's the question. Where is he? Instead of putting God to the test, we see in the text for today that he is putting, once again, his people to the test. And he asks them, as he asks us, do you not remember what I have done for you before? People of Israel, you walked on dry ground in a wall of water to your right and to your left. You saw the Egyptians being swept away in the sea, and you sang out, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed graciously. The horse and his rider were thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, I will exalt him. And then what did they do? They complained. Oh, that we would have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Now, of course, you wouldn't grumble, would you? When you're bored, when you have too little time on your hands, when you have too much time on your hands, when your porridge is too cold, when your porridge is too hot, you don't do that, do you? And just where is the Lord? What has the Lord done for me lately, we ask in our complaining? Is he really listening? You see, these redundant references to grumbling in Exodus and in other places in Scripture proves that complaining will never, ever solve any problems, but really will just multiply discontent. This redundancy is given to us to compare it to the redundancy of the grace of God. And then a miracle occurs. The miracle is seen not only in God's provision of daily food and sustenance, but in the fact that God's mercy in sustaining a grumbling group of sinners truly is the miracle. In the midst of our unbelief, he responds in grace, and he gives us Christ, the true bread from heaven. How foundational to Christology is God's gift of manna in the wilderness. God answers sin with grace. He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven, and they ate the bread of angels. He sent them food, quail in the evening, manna in the morning, food in abundance, daily bread. Enough food on Friday so they could rest on Saturday. And then we see and know that God commands also the skies above. And there on Calvary's hill, darkness was over the whole land until the ninth hour, and the temple curtain was torn in two. Where is God, is the question. He is upon the cross, dying for the world of sinners and complainers. And God commands the skies above after the darkness is lifted from the skies on the morning of the third day. And the women, they go to the tomb and they find it empty. Where is God, is the question. You are to find him among the living. And Jesus looks up into heaven. He takes five loaves and two fish. He gives thanks and he broke them. Where is God? He is feeding the congregation in the Judean desert 1,000 years later from this time of Moses, that they would know and truly know that he himself is the true bread that comes down from heaven. Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes from heaven, and he gives life to the world. Where is God? Take and eat. This is my body given for you, and take and drink This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. There is God. And what is it? It is Jesus Christ given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And as we partake of this holy meal, we leave and thank God and sing his praises. Thank the Lord for all that he has done. Sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Oh, those words should be on our lips. But yet, those words of praise, as did the people of God in the book of Exodus, the words of praise turned once again to complaining. If you follow the story of St. Patrick, I believe Patrick's words are in stark contrast to the grumbling of God's people. He said, "I, Patrick, a sinner, most unlearned, the least of all the faithful, and utterly despised by many, but the Lord opened my unbelieving heart that I might at last remember my sins and be converted to the Lord my God, who had great regard for my abjection and mercy on my youth and ignorance, and watched over me before I knew him, comforted me as I would, as a father would his son. So I cannot be silent, nor should I be, about the great benefits and the great grace which the Lord has deigned to bestow upon me in the land of my captivity." Were the words of the great Lenten hymn written by Paul Gerhardt, "A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners, bearing and laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing. He goes patient on, he grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer. He bears the stripes, the wounds, the lies, the mockery, and yet replies, 'All this I gladly suffer.' In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen."